Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Religion currently has a front row seat in many domains, public as well as private, often in the headlines of any given day. And yet, many of us know little or nothing about religions behind those headlines. Our guest, Reza Aslan, is a religious scholar. Western audiences, especially in America, he says, are regularly surprised by how profoundly similar Islam, Christianity, and Judaism are. Perhaps the bigger surprise, however, is where Mr. Aslan says profound differences are important, differences within Islam.
We tend to think of Iran and Iraq as being intimately linked because they're both Shia. That may be true, but there are many different kinds of Shiism. And Iranian Shiism, which I think is more properly referred to as Khomeiniism, is a profound innovation in Shiism that is utterly rejected by Iraq's Shia majority, and indeed by most of the Shia world. We need to realize that these are two separate entities in every way and treat them as separate entities in every way. Those who present the opposite are precisely these people who want to foment a civil war between the Shia and the Sunni, not just in Iraq, but everywhere else. And that is these puritanical groups of Arab fundamentalists.
Reza Aslan was born in Iran and grew up in California. It's an experience shared by many following the overthrow of the Shah and the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He has studied religions at Santa Clara and Harvard Universities and at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Professor Aslan shares what he's learned in his book, No God But God, The Origins, Evolution, and Future of Islam, as he does with classes and lectures. Bill Russell and I, like so many, have a lot to learn about Islam, so we were eager to begin this conversation. Reza Aslan, I regularly think how charming it is to live in the present, even if I don't do it very well. But there's this allure, this notion that being in the present, that I know something. And then I think, well, it's sort of like a fish in water. I know something, but there's so much more to be known. And as I read No God But God, thinking about Islam in the world and the present in which I am, I thought how much I don't know. Mm-hmm. As you look at these things, do you have that sense of what we do and don't know in this great present?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, even in my field, in the field of religious studies, and particularly the history of religions, I feel as though I've gotten to the point now in my studies where I have a very good base of understanding. And yet, every time I start a new project or begin working on a new field of study, I keep learning all of these things. And I don't mean new bits of information. I mean fundamental bits of information about things that I have been studying for years upon years. And it actually makes me a little bit nervous because I think, boy, I guess I really don't know anything.
The mark of maturity, I'm beginning to think, is knowing how much one doesn't know.
Yes, isn't that, of course, the Socratic ideal, that he who knows the fewest, you know, is the one who is wise.
Well, and part of it, I think, is we live at a time, and have for some time, at least in this country, where we think we are plugged into the world. This notion of globalization is principally informational. And the impression is that we know what's going on in the world, and of course it's not true. We have a great deal of knowledge. Actually, we have some knowledge about not very much, and a total ignorance about a great deal other, and particularly when we get outside our own cultures, our own direct experience. The understanding, the knowledge just drops off precipitously.
Well, and then with the illusion that we have lots of information, which may only be data points because of the 24-hour news cycle and the inundation of what we think is information. But as I read No God But God, I kept thinking how much I don't know, and I think I know some things. Where do you start in helping the Western world in particular look through the headlines, look through the noise, look through the political statements that are self-serving to say, where are we in terms of the 14th centuries of Islamic tradition in the world at large? What is the present moment?
Well, I think what I try to do is remind a Western audience, particularly an American audience, that there is nothing exceptional about Islam or about Islamic history. We have a tendency in this country, I think, to think of Islam somehow as different, as other. It's not like other religions. It's not like Judaism or Christianity. There's something odd or unique about it. That is, it's absurd. It deals with the exact same conflicts and issues of faith and reason that Christianity does, that Judaism does. In fact, in this case in particular, because Islam is so much a part of this biblical prophetic tradition with which so many Americans are already familiar with, what I try to do is draw parallels that give an audience an opportunity to say, well, okay, well, that's exactly what I think about my religion, or that's exactly those kinds of historical conflicts, those kinds of doctrinal conflicts are the same conflicts that I already know about. And so that parallel, I think, is very important to do.
You use two words that we'll probably need to come back to. One is reformation, which is a little surprising. And the other, on the cover of the book, is evolution, also mm-hmm. a little bit surprising.
And we will do that when we return in a moment with Reza Aslan, who is with us, talking about Islam, talking about the world, talking about change in an interesting kind of way. Bill Russell and I, Paula Gordon, invite you to be with us when we return.